So, our topic for tonight is the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, the mitzvah of enjoying Shabbos. Okay, and last week or 2 weeks ago, we were coming off our discussion of different understandings of the Isra Melacha on Shabbos. Different understandings of what's Asra on Shabbos. Is it specifically the Lamatas Melachos or a broader value of resting? So, the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, it doesn't appear in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, it only appears in Nevi'im. Where Yeshaya says, "V'karasa l'Shabbos oneg," you should call Shabbos an enjoyable day. "U'lekdosh Hashem mechubad," and it should also you should consecrate. You should make the day a holy day by honoring it, by kavod. So the pasuk here, we have source sheets up here for anybody who's came in. So the pasuk in Yeshaya already distinguishes between one category of "lekdosh Hashem mechubad," which we'll see refers to kavod Shabbos, and the category of the Karasa L'Shabbos Oneg, which refers to Oneg Shabbos. So what's the difference between Kavod and Oneg Shabbos? We'll see. Some Rishonim aren't sensitive to the distinction, but some Rishonim think that it's central to the different mitzvot. So what falls under the category of Oneg? What falls under the category of Kavod? So I'll just give a couple of examples. The mitzvah of eating on Shabbos, of having good food and having food that's better than the food that you have during the rest of the week, that's clearly Oneg Shabbos. Part of enjoying Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos, it's clear in the Gemara, that Kavod Shabbos includes things like wearing nice clothes on Shabbos, big day Shabbos, and let's say having your table set nicely walking into Shabbos. That's all part of Kavod Shabbos. Kabbalah Shabbos, the notion of going to shul before Shabbos starts, that's part of Kavod Shabbos, part of honoring Shabbos. Enjoying the day, enjoying the basar, enjoying the yayin, that's part of Oneg. So Oneg connotes more enjoyment, pleasure. Kavod connotes more respect for the day of Shabbos. There's two different aspects of this drabanan mitzvah, kavod and oneg. The question is where does oneg fall into our understanding of the mitzvah of Shabbos? So we're going to start with a very interesting source, which touches on two important issues for our question. The author is a Sefer Mitzvos Katan. Sefer Mitzvos Katan is a work by Rishonim in the 14th century in France. He's from the Bali HaTosfos, but he wrote basically the first Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Took all 613 mitzvos, and he gave you just the upshot of what you have to know. Okay, so like, if you want to know how much people care about that, there are more manuscripts of the Smak, of this book, than any other manuscript from the medieval era. Because everyone, at the end of the day, just wants to know, what do I have to do? What can I do? Nobody wants all the lengthy discussions of Tosfos. So the Smak writes the following. There's a mitzvah, L'his'aneg b'Shabbos. There's a mitzvah to enjoy Shabbos. Dechsiv v'karasa l'Shabbos oneg. Make Shabbos into an enjoyable or pleasant day. V'chein remez Moshe Rabbeinu b'Torah. Moshe hinted to this in the Torah. This is very interesting. The source is only in Nach. So usually that means it's drabanan. It's a rabbinic mitzvah. But yet a lot of Rishonim say it's already hinted to in Torah. So is that significant? Do they mean this in like a nice drusha way? That like, oh, you could find that it's already, there are vestiges of it in the Torah. Do they mean it that it has echoes, it has some force, midaraisa? I mean, sometimes you'll have, this is a very important question, there's an Isra in the Torah, Bal Tosif. You can't add on to the 613 mitzvos. Then the rabbis come along and they say, Chanukah and Purim should be thrown in there also. So why isn't that a violation of this mitzvah to not add on to the Torah? Right? The rabbis aren't allowed to add on, so they just come along and they throw in Chanukah and Purim, right?
So, Esther, the Torah, Binan, you know, those they find the
So you could, you're right, that's one approach, kind of like to say, oh, the Torah really meant it earlier. But the Rambam says something much, very, very much nicer, I think. The Rambam in his Akdama to Mishnah Torah, the Rambam says that there are certain themes that are acknowledged midoraisa, and the Chachamim just come along and they build off those themes. And they flesh it out a little further. They articulate it better. They explicate that principle. So the Rambam says that the principle of giving thanks for a nes, for a miracle that happens to the Jewish people, that's a biblical principle. The Chachamim came along and they said, Chanukah and Purim, that's just an implementation of that d'oraisa biblical principle. So that's not Bal Tosif. That's not adding on to the Torah. It's simply explicating a theme that's already there. So when you have a case like this, where you have Oneg Shabbos, where it's articulated by the prophets, by Nevi'im, but they say it's hinted to in the Torah, so what do they mean? Do they mean that in this serious sense, that the principle of Oneg Shabbos is actually biblical? Or are they just trying to tell you, like, oh, you know, if you have to tell your kids where it's in the Torah, so, you know, point to this pasuk. So we'll see in a minute. So v'chein rimez Moshe Rabbeinu b'Torah. Moshe hinted this in the Torah. How? Tichsev asisa kol malachtecha. You should do all your work. V'eich yuchal adam lasos kol malachto b'shavua echad. Is it conceivable that a person could finish all his work in 1 week? Ela yira la'adam b'chol Shabbos sheyiyu kol malachos v'asuyos. The self-perception that you should have, source sheet, you good? The self-perception that you should have on Shabbos is that it's as if all your malacha is complete. V'ein lecha oneg gadol mizeh. What more could somebody want in terms of leisure and pleasure than to know that all their work is done for the year? That's the mentality you should have. This is fascinating on two levels. A, how he defined oneg Shabbos. We'll see. If you asked me to define Oneg Shabbos, I would say, like I mentioned before, it means eating nice foods, enjoying the day, you know, maybe reading in the backyard if the weather's nice. Pleasure, enjoyment. The Sefer Mitzvos Katan is saying that the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos is the mentality of acknowledging that you have nothing to worry about with respect to your weekday. That's the first interesting point. That's his definition of Oneg. It's a mentality. The second thing that's interesting relates to what we spoke about last week or 2 weeks ago, is the preoccupation that some Rishonim have with Isser Malacha. I mean, there's no reason to come along and say that Oneg Shabbos is an outgrowth of Asisa Kol Malachtecha, a Malacha. The Sefer Mitzvot Katan is saying that Malacha is so central to the notion of Shabbos that even the peripheral mitzvot of Oneg are defined with respect to Asisa Kol Malachtecha. So not doing work on Shabbos spills into a mentality of seeing it as if all your labor is done. It's an interesting phenomenon. Okay, so those are 2 points in the smack. Let's read on a little further. We also have a pasuk that says you shouldn't do your normal activities. Also, in this same vein of viewing Shabbos as if all your malacha is done, laleches besoch sadehu leida mahi tzricha. It's also usher on Shabbos to walk into your fields. This is assuming agricultural society. You're not allowed to walk into your fields and start checking which plants are growing, which plants aren't growing. Because even though you're not doing malacha, worrying about your malacha is prohibited under Oneg Shabbos. V'chein, al yidaleg v'al yarutz b'shvil chafatzav laharviach. You shouldn't run, you shouldn't skip, you shouldn't be moving too enthusiastically in order to, laharviach is to gain. Aval edvar mitzvah mutter, but for mitzvos it's mutter to run. V'nirali, this is the smack, this is his personal voice piercing through. Ki bachurim, because young men hamis angim beritzasan, people who enjoy running, uvekfitzasan, and people who enjoy jumping, mutter. So that's it's mutter. It's not prohibited under Oneg Shabbos to run around and do things that you enjoy, even though you're sweating and you're working hard. She'enam rotzim laharviach, because the only thing that's prohibited under Oneg Shabbos is if you're trying to gain monetarily. So you're running around to try to make sure everything sets. That's laharviach, to gain. But anything else is mutter. V'chein liros kol davar shemis angin bo liroso. And also part of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos is to look at things that you enjoy looking at. Right? So if you enjoy looking at paintings, so look at paintings on Shabbos. So Sefer Mitzvos Katan is preoccupied with melacha. Melacha frames the mentality of Oneg. The Sefer Mitzvos thinks that Oneg is just a mentality, and therefore he would say, because of that relationship to melacha, that any activity that's, even if it's forced, even if it's hard, even if it's laborious, so it's mutter as long as it's not associated with work. That's the position of a Sefer Mitzvos Katan. Contrast that perspective with the perspective of the Yireim, for example. Okay, so the Yireim is on page 3, second to last source. It's a problem I have. I like going through the sources out of order. But to bear with me. The second to last source is the Sefer Yireim. The Sefer Yireim is also from the school of the Balei HaTosfos. Okay, it's for Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, a little earlier than the Sefer Mitzvos Katan. And here you'll notice that he thinks that Oneg Shabbos is a mitzvah d'oraisa. I think it's the biblical mitzvah. And let's see how he characterizes it. So second to last source on page 3. V'onga, you should be ma'aneg Shabbos. Mitzvahs Oneg Shabbos Gemara Gemirila. Gemara Gemirila means we have a tradition. It's not explicit in the Torah, but it's a tradition going back to Sinai or to Moshe Rabbeinu, ad the asa Yeshaya the asmecha akra, until Yeshaya came along and Yeshaya connected it with a pasuk, dichsiv across the Shabbos Oneg. So once again, the Yireim acknowledges that Oneg Shabbos is implicit already in the Torah's formulation of Shabbos. It's not a rabbinic invention. Okay, similar to what we saw in the Smak. Uve Shabbos Perikol Kisei. The Gemara in Shabbos. How does the Gemara characterize it? Amrinan Bameme Anga. How do you create Oneg Shabbos? Amr Rav Yehuda Mishmei Derav Bitavshil Shel Tradyin. With a nicely cooked food. That's the definition of Oneg Shabbos. Vidogim Gidolim and large fish. Uve Roshei Shumim kinds of vegetables. Lav dafke elu, and not just these specific. I'll call davar machol ha'ariv la'adam kari oneg. Any enjoyable food, any delicacy is oneg Shabbos. And then he broadens it even further. Skip to the second to last line after the two dots. V'cheshem sheyesh oneg ba'achila, just as there is pleasure of Shabbos through eating. Kach yesh oneg b'hanas gufo. So things that are pleasurable for the body, so that's also part of oneg Shabbos. Mitzvah la'adam la'aneg atzam b'hanas gufo shegam hi nikras oneg. Right, so anything that's physically enjoyable for you, that's oneg Shabbos. So A, that's a very different definition from the Sefer Mitzvos Katan. It's all about not just the Gemara said it's achila. He saw the principle embedded in achila as so fundamental to oneg Shabbos that he's willing to generalize it to any pleasure of the guf, any physical pleasure. Okay? So you see that there's already some sort of clash as to understanding of Oneg Shabbos. Fine. What's the Rambam's position on Oneg Shabbos? Where does the Rambam stand? And we'll see that there's a big problem when we hit the Rambam. Okay, as usually there is. So Rambam in the second source on page 1. Rambam says there are four things that are included in Shabbos. Two of them are biblical. Two of them are Midivrei Sofrim. The phrase Midivrei Sofrim always means in the Rambam, except for one place, that it's rabbinic. Okay, so 99% of the time it means it's rabbinic. So Shnayim Midivrei Sofrim is the second source on the page 1. Shebetorah Zachar v'Shamar. Zachar and Shamar are the biblical ones. V'shenisparshu al-yidei anavim, the ones that were explicated by prophets, that's covered in Oneg Shabbos. Shenamar b'Yishaya v'karas l'Shabbos Oneg l'Kdosh Hashem mechuban. So Rambam seems to say Oneg Shabbos is drabanan. Where's the problem? Skip down two sources to the Rambam in Perek Lamed Halacha Yud Beis. Okay, so the Rambam says, "Aser lehisanos v'lizok ulehischanein ulevakesh rachamim b'Shabbos." It's aser to fast on Shabbos. So when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, what do? We push Tisha B'Av off to Sunday because you can't fast on Shabbos. Okay, all the other Tanaisim except for Yom Kippur, we push off. It's aser to scream out on Shabbos. You're not allowed to ask for a Rachmanos on Shabbos. So a lot of the tefillos that we'll say during the week, we won't say on Shabbos. Okay? Because we're not mevakesh rachamim. From the Rambam, it seems that these are all part of the principle of Oneg Shabbos. Just like there's a principle of Oneg Shabbos to enjoy Shabbos through eating nice things, so part of enjoying Shabbos is to not worry about crises or tragedies or sick people. Get that out of your mind. Fine. That's part of his definition. But the Rambam says it's also to fast on Shabbos, as part of Oneg Shabbos. This is all in the same halacha. The Rambam in Shavuos, which is the second to last source on the first page, halacha vav, the Rambam tells us a principle that we find in different areas of halacha. And that's the following. Normally, I could take a shavua. It's a very important principle. I could take a shavua to prohibit a certain item on myself. So I could say that I'm not going to eat anything today. That's a shavua. I could swear. And that's effective. And if I eat something today, so I violated a prohibition. I cannot take a shvua on something that is obligatory from the Torah. So if the Torah tells me that I have to shake lulav, I cannot take a shvua that I'm not going to take shvua. I'm not going to shake lulav because my shvua cannot override something that's articulated in the Torah. The Rambam in Shavuos Perek Aleph Halacha Vav says that there are three cases. This is the background. There are three cases of shvua shav. Are three instances where my shvua is absolutely ineffective. My shvua, there's no room for it to be effective. Why? What's one of the cases? Shlishis shenishba levatel as hamitzvah. You take a shvua to undermine a mitzvah. Ketzad kegon shenishba shlo yisatif b'tzitzis shlo yilbash tefillin shlo yeshev b'sukkah b'chag ha'sukkos. I swear I'm not going to sit in the sukkah. I swear I'm not going to shake lulav. I swear I'm not going to wear tzitzis. I'm not going to wear tefillin. So that shvua is not chal. Because the Torah already, I'm already sworn into that from Har Sinai. I can't add on. Then the Rambam says, you know what's another example of this? Oshe yisane b'shabaso suviyamim tovim. If I swear that I'm going to fast on Shabbos, my shvua is not effective. So I'm already commanded from the Torah to eat on Shabbos. So asks everyone, we have a problem here. The Rambam seemed to have held in Hilchos Shabbos that Oneg Shabbos is only rabbinic. The Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos says that my Shavua is ineffective if I take a Shavua to fast on Shabbos, which seems to imply that the obligation to eat on Shabbos is Doraisa, because otherwise my Shavua usually can chal, it could override a Drabanan. A swear could override a rabbinic commandment. So the Rambam holds the Oneg Shabbos Drabanan. The Rambam says that eating on Shabbos is part of, well, see in a second. The Rambam says that Oneg Shabbos is Drabanan, rabbinic. The Rambam says that I cannot take a Shavua to fast on Shabbos. Isn't that a contradiction?
I can't remember now the exact source, but I learned that there are actually two different ways of categorizing fasts. And under one of the permutations, you might secretly say you could fast on Shabbos. Have you ever heard of
that? Okay, we'll get to that. We'll talk about that in a second. Do you know what that permutation would be?
I'm trying to remember.
Okay. So
yeah,
we'll see.
I heard it during the doctor.
Right, they tell a story about the math professor who, like, you know, he's like in the middle of, he's working through a proof in graduate school, and he's like working through, and he's, and at one point a student asks a question, and he says, well, how did you make the step from 3A to 3B? He's looking at the board, he's like, oh, that's a good question. I have to think about it. He's sitting there for 20 minutes, can't get it back inside. He walks back, he's like, I'll be back in a minute. Goes to his office, he's gone for an hour. Looks it over, and then he comes back in and says, like, oh, it's obvious. And he moves on to the next step.
Can I go back for an hour?
Sometimes, even though, you know, things can be obvious, even if it takes time to recollect them. Good. So this is a contradiction in the Rambam. So what are we going to say? How are we going to resolve what could we say for the Rambam here? What would we suggest? Open to solutions. Rambam seems to say that Oneg Shabbos is Drabanan, it's Divrei Sofrim. There's only one case in the Rambam where he thinks that Divrei Sofrim is Doraisa. Okay, there are 99% of other cases where they're Drabanan. And yet the Rambam says that a Shavua to fast on Shabbos is ineffective. Even though we know for the Rambam that Shavuos are effective on Drabanans. So what are we going to say?
Because he feels that some Drabanans are actually Doraisa.
Oh. That's one possibility. It could be that even drabbanans have a hierarchy. There are some drabbanans which are hinted at, or where their principle is embedded already in the Torah. Those would be higher level drabbanans. They're kind of biblical, even though they're really rabbinic. And then there are drabbanans which are just drabbanan. That's a very interesting idea, and that's very important just for our notion of, you know, some drabbanans are really deraisa principles. So that could be a solution. You'll see the Meiri has that suggestion. The Meiri on page 2. So let's take a look at page 2, just to see that in the Meiri. A very interesting suggestion. This is under the title Midivrei Sofrim, Beis HaBechir, right in the middle of the page. Page 2, Beis HaBechir LeMeiri, Maseches Shavuos Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Harei Tainis B'Shabbos Ein Yisuro Iser Torah, right? Fasting on Shabbos is not Doraisa. Ela Shemikol Makom, Shabbos Hoel V'Oneg Shabbos Midivrei Nevi'im, V'Sheh Shalosh Se'udo Sheba Yatsu Min HaTorah, Alma af Isra Hatainas Torah im smach mashakasu b'inyan shalosh sudos. So he says, really it's drabanan, but if you put it together with the fact that the chiyuv of eating 3 sudos on Shabbos is already hinted at in the Torah, so it's a drabanan that has a smach from Divrei Torah already. That's what he suggests for the Rambam, like you said, exactly. So this is like a drabanan with the oraisa force. Okay. But what else could you say for the Rambam to resolve this contradiction here?
And we're assuming that this Divrei Sofrim is not the one
right
out of the 100.
Okay. So the Chassam Sofer actually says what you're saying. The Chassam Sofer says there's one case in Kiddushin where the Rambam holds that Divrei Sofrim means Doraisa. Okay, we all get married through giving a ring. That's called Kiddushei Kesef. Kiddushei Kesef is never actually explicated in the Torah, but everyone assumes that it's Midoraisa. The Rambam says it's Midivrei Sofrim. So it would be a big problem if that Kiddushin was only rabbinic and not biblical. It would make a lot of problems for Kiddushin. So everyone says that the Rambam, and it's clear the Rambam says it in the Tshuva also, that Divrei Sofrim is Doraisa. It's one case. He calls it Divrei Sofrim because it's not explicit in the Torah. So Chassam Sofer, actually, right before the Meiri on page 2, so he says, V'hine ein kavanaso shehu rak mitzvah midrabanan, elo Doraisa mamish, nemar l'moshe misinai bal peh, halacha l'moshe misinai. That's the Chassam Sofer right before the Beis HaBechir of the Meiri. So he makes that, he's like, oh, there's one case, this is the second case. But it's.
No, that would make perfect. That makes perfect sense. That it is a d'oraisa. The fact that all the other times we try to have a pasuk all the time. The Gemara all the time says minoan. How do we know? How do we know this? How do we know? Just today, even in the daf, there's this about smicha. Giving smicha for a kavan is, and so there's a pasuk. You always look for a pasuk for everything.
Right.
This one we don't have a pasuk because we don't have a pasuk.
So call divrei sofrim.
So we're going to call that word right.
Right.
But it's a really balpam misora sort of thing
right.
that we know about.
The problem is that in most cases of the Rambam, it's clear that it's actual drabanan, not just lacking a pasuk.
Okay.
So Chassam Sofer is saying that this is the second case, or this is like the third case, but it's definitely in the gross minority.
But the other, okay, so the other angle would be somehow the fast and the oneg are not going to be the formulation here.
Excellent. So it could be that there's a distinction to be made between oneg, the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, and the actual mitzvah of eating on Shabbos. How would that be? I mean, it could be that the Rambam says that Oneg Shabbos is Drabbanon, but the obligation to eat on Shabbos would be D'oraisa. That's a... What?
It's what you eat, maybe, that's D'rabbanon.
Maybe it's what you eat that's Drabbanon. It could be. Could be. Look at the Rambam's formulation, though. The problem is the Rambam describes this. The Rashba suggests what you said. The Rashba suggests that Oneg Shabbos, of eating, let's say, pleasurable things and eating delicacies, that's D'oraisa. The obligation to eat simplicit or unqualified, that's the obligation to eat is D'oraisa. What you eat and the delicacies, that's going to be Drabbanan. That's how the Rashba suggests, or the Rashba suggests for the Rambam. Okay? It's a bit forced, because the Rambam himself says in Perek Lamed Halacha Zayin, which is the third source on the page, the Rambam here says, Eze oneg Shabbos, letakein tavshil shamin biyoser umashke mevusam. And then the Rambam says, but if you don't have enough money to buy nice foods every Shabbos, you know what? Better that you just buy something small for Shabbos. You don't have to go into the poorhouse for Shabbos. So the Rambam's already assuming that you could get away. You don't need to have a lot for oneg Shabbos. But oneg Shabbos is still what underwrites your obligation to eat anything on Shabbos. And the Rambam says you don't have to go crazy for Shabbos. You could fulfill Oneg Shabbos through just eating something. But he still assumes that the principle for eating something is Oneg Shabbos. Moreover, if you look at the structure of the Rambam, the Rambam in Perek Lamed says that there's a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, and then in Halacha Vav, where he's articulating what Oneg Shabbos is, sorry, in Halacha Test, look at the top of page 2. This is under the Rambam's category of Oneg Shabbos. The Rambam says, Chayiv Adam Lechel Shalos Sudos B'Shabbos. You have an obligation to eat 3 seudos on Shabbos under his category of Oneg Shabbos, not as a separate commandment of Achila. Let me highlight that a little differently. Stories every Shabbos, right? You had your big meal Friday night, you had another meal Shabbos afternoon, come Shalosh Shudos and no one's hungry. Right? You're already full. So there is a question, a side question, when does Shalosh Shudos have to be eaten? Could you eat Shalosh Shudos? Some people just want to get it through. So they'll finish lunch, and they'll say, oh, we'll bench, and then we'll have hamotzi, and we'll be yotzei shalosh shudos before we run to early mincha and shul. That's what some people try to do. And some rishonim think that's okay, because it doesn't matter how you split up the meals on Shabbos. The Rambam and the Gaonim think that the meals have to be spread out throughout the day. It's part of what makes Shabbos unique. What's unique about Shabbos is that you have meal now, and a meal later. Your day is kind of framed by the seudos of Shabbos. The Ritva formulates this obligation to spread out the meals very specifically. Second source on page 2. The kivon din nafgalon gimel seudos midechsiv tlasa yom. Since we learn out the obligation to eat 3 seudos from the fact that it says yom hayom 3 times in the Torah, seudos chalukos beinan, they have to be separate seudos, distinct seudos, sheyehi nikar mailas ha-shabbos. It has to be explicit to the outside viewer that there's something different about this day. If you're just cramming in 3 meals, it's peculiar. V'im achar she'ochal su'udaso v'day sveko. So let's say now you're full, you had your lunch. Havale su'uda shlishis ba'achila gasa. So your su'uda shlishis na'achilas gasa. And why is that a problem? Who cares? Who cares that your su'uda shlishis na'achila gasa? V'ein ze oneg v'kavod Shabbos. That's not oneg Shabbos if you're eating it when you're stuffed. So people point out that if you assume, like this ritva, so then the obligation to eat 3 seudos is because of Oneg Shabbos. So if that's internally inconsistent, because now you're forcing yourself to eat the meal, It's not enjoyable for you. Then you don't fulfill the mitzvah of shalosh sudos. So both the Ritva and the Rambam, based on the way the Rambam classifies, they assume that the underwriting obligation of shalosh sudos is clearly oneg Shabbos. So if that's true, then you can't say that there's a separate chiyuv for suuda and a separate chiyuv of oneg Shabbos. Because suuda is a function, it's an outgrowth of oneg. That's what people point out for this suggestion. So we're back in a little bit of we still have this problem for the Rambam. Okay. What's the difference between oneg and fasting? So to solve this problem, let's take a look at the Gemara in Shabbos, the bottom of page 2. There's a tradition in Halacha that there are some dreams that a person has that force the person to fast. So a person has a dream, let's say, that a tragedy is going to happen to his family. So Chazal assume that that's like a kind of a warning. Right? So under certain, depending what you see in the dream, so you have an obligation to fast. It's considered like a personal day of crisis for you. So the question is, what happens if you see this dream on Shabbos? So do you say that you're supposed to fast on Shabbos, or do you say, push it off till the next day? So the Gemara in Shabbos in Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph says, essentially, Afilu b'Shabbos. Even on Shabbos you should fast. That's the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lamed Aleph has a similar story where somebody has this dream and it says they should fast on Shabbos, but here the Gemara adds in something. The Gemara on the bottom of page 2. Amar Rabbi Lazar Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, Kol Yoshe Bitanis b'Shabbos, anybody who sits in a fast on Shabbos, Korin lo Gzardino shel Shivim Shana. So it's such a good thing that he fasted on this day when he had to, that even if he had a decree for 70 bad years, Shemayim will tear it up. And they'll give him a good decree. And even though it was the right thing to do to fast on Shabbos, they're going to punish him for not fulfilling the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. So what's unclear is how do these two Gemaras work together. The Gemara in Shabbos said you should fast and didn't qualify it. The Gemara in Brachos says that if you fast on Shabbos, you should fast but you're going to be punished for being Mevata Oneg Shabbos. So how do those two Gemaras go together? Is the Gemara in Brachos qualifying the Gemara in Shabbos? Or do they stand independently? So the Ritva says that they stand independently, and it depends why you're fasting. Okay. If you're fasting because you had this dream that shocked you, and now you have to fast for tshuva, so then the Ritva says, top of page 3.
How does a dream take such precedence over everything?
Because Chazal assume that these dreams are a real message. That the dream is telling you something that you have to worry, you have to do tshuva. It's like a Navi knocking on your door and saying, repent. That's the assumption that they have. Or if you don't want that example, I'm saying the more applicable example is Aseret Yemei Tshuva. A lot of people had the custom to fast on Shabbos Shuva. So same question, how are you able to fast on Shabbos? You're undermining Oneg Shabbos. Look what the Ritva says. The Ritva says something fascinating. The bold phrase on page 3, top of page 3. Ve'al te'tama she'yidcha mitzvahs oneg Shabbos mipnei divrei chalom. Don't be bothered, like we were just bothered about pushing away oneg Shabbos because of the fast day. She'zuhi oneg shel Shabbos b'makom hazeh. Because subjectively, given the circumstances, this is defined as oneg Shabbos. She'ilu haya ochel haya mitztar al gzardino. If he was eating, so he'd be so worried about what's going to happen to him. Given this circumstance, so he's having more oneg from just fasting. Because that puts his mind at ease more than he would if he was actually eating and having a suda.
You brought up before, it's not a universal idea that oneg has to include eating.
What?
One of the sources you quoted before didn't say that oneg is not...
Right, that was the smak.
Right.
Exactly. So this ritva...
But also Yom Kippur itself.
Well, Yom Kippur, it's fine to say that I'm fine with Yom Kippur overriding Oneg Shabbos. That I could
say.
Maybe
it's not for that same reason.
Right. Then you could say.
You don't look at Yom Kippur as a day of Tisha B'Av.
Right.
Like Shiva Sabbatamas, it's a joyous day in essence.
Right.
You're never called to
absolutely.
So therefore, it's Oneg in a very special way.
The thing is, though, is that the Ritva here is assuming that in general the obligation of Oneg Shabbos is through Suda. Under these circumstances, so the bigger Oneg Shabbos is to fast. That's why the Ritva holds, which we'll see in it, which I'll tell you.
That's a slippery slope.
because then it opens the gates to saying
subjectivity.
What gives my mind the ultimate relaxation? I need to smoke a cigar,
Right.
That I'm an
addicted, so smoking the cigars, that's an extreme case because that violates, let's say.
Okay, well, whatever.
Before the takana of not having a hot, going back to the goof and the pleasurable part, taking a warm bath.
Absolutely. I think the Urayim would say that if not for the takana of bathing on Shabbos, that would be an ideal kim of Oneg Shabbos. Everyone should go into the jacuzzi on Shabbos. That's like his conception of.
Rosen's wife just said everybody should go into the jacuzzi on Shabbos.
If not for the takana.
Do you think he's thinking of like a sakana nefesha? Do you think he's like because the dream is so foreboding that you would do that because of a fear for life? Because we hear
horror
stories of people, you're not allowed to be sad on Shabbos. Somebody just dies. You can't think about it.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. I think that the ritva is not going that far. I don't think he's saying it's like a pikuach nefesh, so you have to fast on Shabbos. I think he's saying that given that you're disturbed by what you saw in your dream and you want to do something about it, so you're more proactive by fasting and doing tshuva. So that's more oneg Shabbos for you than sitting there and eating and worrying about the dream. I don't think he's saying you need to fast. He's saying subjectively to your mind, this is a better way of enjoying Shabbos. And I think precisely that's the point. It does open the door to subjectivity. Because the Ritva would say that Oneg Shabbos is defined subjectively. And that's perfectly fine. The Urayim already said, the Gemara said Achila. The Urayim said this is a generalization. Not just Achila, it's a general principle. It applies even to, let's say, going to take a nice bath on Shabbos. And even looking at nice things on Shabbos, the Urayim said. That's clearly a subjective definition.
I want to sit and learn for 25 hours. And learn Torah. I want my...
Yeah,
if
that's your Oneg Shabbos, maybe.
That's
isn't that essentially the case of the Ritva?
Yeah.
Right. So what you see for the Ritva is something, you see that the Ritva holds that Oneg Shabbos is defined entirely subjectively. Okay. According to, let's say, the Rambam, at least the way the Rambam presents it, it sounds like it's not subjective. It's about particular mitzvot of Achila, Shtiya, Basar, Yayin, Suda, whatever. So it seems to be a question about whether Oneg Shabbos is defined subjectively or objectively. And within that, there's a question of whether it's defined physically. The Urayim was obsessed with the physical definition, Oneg HaGuf. The Ritva here seems to be assuming, like the Sefer Mitzvos Katan that we started with, that the definition of Oneg is not about Oneg HaGuf, it's not about physical pleasure, it's about intellectual enjoyment. It's about your mentality, it's about a state of mind. So if you're going to have a turbulent mindset, that's worse than being at peace with fasting. So you have arguments here about is it subjective, is it objective? And then you have a parallel machlokes, is it about the mentality or is it about the oneg haguf? Okay? That's.
Just want to comment. We have every year or so we have a fast date which begins on Erev Shabbos. Okay? And we run into Shabbos. Does that mean that during Kabbalat Shabbat, you could already eat, or until we get back from shul.
You have to wait till you get back from shul.
Shul. The other thing is on Tisha B'av. Tisha B'av, the Afsoka begins at a certain time. It's still Shabbos. You can't eat then.
Right. Well, I'm going to discuss Tisha B'av on Shabbos next week. Next week we're going to talk about Tisha B'av on Shabbos. Let me just make another point here for a second. There's a third machlokes. Not about the definition of Oneg Shabbos, but the characterization of Oneg Shabbos. The Smak, you'll notice, he grouped Oneg Shabbos together with Melacha. That was his association. Oneg, Melacha, they go together. Because Shabbos is about the mentality of not having to work for the rest of the week. Other Rishonim group Oneg Shabbos together with Kiddush. Meaning, what's your association of Oneg Shabbos? Where does it belong to in the mitzvot of the day? Malacha or something like Kiddush, which is about you having to create some sort of Kedusha on the day? That's also a very interesting point. That we'll talk about next week also. The Chasam Sofer makes the note that even if this Ritva is correct, that you could subjectively define Oneg when it comes to Shabbos, That's unique to Oneg and Shabbos. If you take the analog in Yom Tov, the analog would be Simchas Yom Tov. So you can never have a subjective definition of Simcha. That's the argument of the Chassam so far. So he says, for example, so if somebody saw this same dream on Yontif, they wouldn't be allowed to fast, because Simchas Yom Tov always expresses itself objectively. Oneg Shabbos, that's something unique where it could express itself subjectively. So for some reason, this mitzvah of Oneg on Shabbos stands in contradistinction to Simcha of Yom Tov. So why do the Yom Tovim and Shabbos have different emphases of Simcha versus Oneg?
One thought, because there is no mitzvah, it never says the word Simcha for Yom Tov, for Shabbos.
Right, and the Torah never says Simcha.
Is a Yom Tov concept.
Right, absolutely. In the Torah, but the question is, why, when the Torah articulated its vision of Shabbos and Yom Tov, why was Oneg delegated to Shabbos, and why was Simcha delegated to Yom Tov? Right? We'll see. Next week, that's going to be our topic, Simcha. Why is Simcha? What is Simcha? Is there a din of Simcha on Shabbos? In Tefillah, we say, Yismechu b'machusra shomrei Shabbos. Everyone's apologetic about it. Like, oh, it doesn't really belong here. So we'll have to see. Are there vestiges of Simcha on Shabbos? And are there vestiges of Oneg on Yom Tov? Another important machlokes that we find here about Oneg Shabbos is found on page 3. Let's go back to a Ramban that we saw in the end of, we saw 2 weeks ago. The Ramban in the middle of the page, Shmos Chaf, so the Ramban says, V'tam lekadsho, Zachar Shema Shabbos lekadsho, Shehei zechornenu bo lios kadosh beinenu. Shabbos is supposed to be a holy day in our eyes. Kemo she'amar v'karasal l'shabbos oneg l'kdosh Hashem mechuban. Okay, so Ramban quotes Oneg Shabbos. Why is there this myth of Oneg Shabbos? The perception you're supposed to have of Isra Malacha is that because it's a holy day, to be freed from your distractions of the rest of the week, Ramban says that the definition of Oneg Shabbos is not about Oneg HaGuf, which the Yireim said, and which the Rambam seemed to have. He says about Oneg l'nafshenu b'darke Hashem. I mean, he stipulates the definition of Oneg as being a spiritual enjoyment. That's what Dr. Feuer was saying, that if you enjoy learning, let's say, all Shabbos, that should be your Oneg Shabbos. The Ramban's saying not only is that true if that happens to be your enjoyment, the Ramban's saying Oneg Shabbos is never about physical pleasure. It's never about a subjective or even an objective achila, shtia, or looking at nice things or doing things that you enjoy. It's about enjoying the Darke Hashem on Shabbos. Where does Ramban get that idea from? Oneg Shabbos. How does Ramban know that it's defined in spiritual terms? Why would he even be motivated to say that? In the Gemara, everything you find is physical. Achila, basar, dagim. So why go out of your way, run contrary to the grain of the evidence, and say that Oneg has to be defined in spiritual terms? What's the motivation? So I think the idea that the Ramban is getting at is the exact opposite of what the Rambam gets at. The Rambam, we saw, throws Oneg Shabbos into the very end of Hilchos Shabbos. It's in the last parak, it's an addendum. It's like where the Rambam finished everything else, so he throws in one more idea. It's a day of rest, can't do malacha, but there should also be some constructive or some enjoyable part of the day. That's Oneg Shabbos for the Rambam. It may even be Doraisa, but the Rambam Dafka plays down the Doraisa component. Right? If the Meiri is correct, that it is a biblical principle, then the Rambam went out of his way to say that it's Divrei Sofrim and it's tucked away in the end of Hilchos Shabbos. Why downplay it? If the Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos should be taken literally, then the Rambam does hold that Oneg Shabbos is Doraisa, and yet, once again, he goes out of his way to formulate it as an addendum at the very end of Hilchos Shabbos. The Ramban does the exact opposite, and the Ramban thinks that even when the Torah says Mikra'i Kodesh, the Ramban says that's referring to Oneg Shabbos. I mean, the Ramban throws in Oneg Shabbos whenever he can. The Rambam gets rid of Oneg Shabbos whenever he can. That's the general theme that you find. So what are they arguing about? The Ramban defines Oneg Shabbos in terms of a spiritual odyssey, B'darkei Hashem. The Rambam only defines it physically. So I think the idea is that it's clear to everyone that there has to be some purpose to Isra Malacha. Can't just be the Torah says, don't do work on Shabbos, and that's enough. Can't be that just the Lamatas Malachos, or even just resting, that's not sufficient to make a day of Shabbos. Even the Rambam himself, who thinks that Shabbos is all about Malacha, so the Rambam thinks that it's a ritual that brings out a certain commitment of the Jewish people. Look at the Rambam in Mor Nebuchim. This is the Rambam's Guide to the Perplexed, where the Rambam describes what's behind a lot of the mitzvos. So the Rambam here explains that the purpose of Shabbos is so that you have a day of rest for a seventh of your life. Okay, because one out of every 7 days is spent resting from Melacha. Imashem masmid umekayim hadas. Second to last line. Imashem masmid umekayim hadas hanichbar hazeh. That's what sustains and propagates the ideology of the Jewish people, lidoros for generations. V'hi ha'emuna b'chidush ha'olam. That at the core of Shabbos is the ritual which, I guess, demonstrates our belief in Chiddush Olam, that the world was created out of nothing. So that's what Shabbos is. So that's Isra Malacha. So you have to abstain from activity. Oneg Shabbos is a way of just showing that we're resting on Shabbos. We're enjoying Shabbos in order to just bring out that this is the principle that we're trying to keep. So it's there just to reinforce the main idea of Shabbos. The Ramban thinks that the Mechayiv of Shabbos is much broader than that. The Ramban says the principle of Shabbos, look in the Ramban, Shmos Chaf, second paragraph, Melechein Amru Chazal, second paragraph in the Ramban, Chazal say that Shabbos is keneged kol mitzvos haTorah, v'pnei sheba neid al ikor ha'emuna, b'chidush, b'hashkacha v'nevua. The Ramban says that part of the testimony of Shabbos is that you're testifying not only on creation out of nothing, but also hashkacha, that God's involved in the world. That we'll see the Ramban later on. So that's how the Ramban explains why we always talk about Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim on Shabbos. What does that have to do with Shabbos? So Ramban thinks that part of Shabbos is also testifying of Hashem's involvement, taking the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Uvinevua, prophecy. How does prophecy figure into the mitzvah of Shabbos? Where does it come from? The answer is that the Ramban understands that Oneg Shabbos is the principle which tells you that it's not just about not doing melacha, it's not just about having a day of rest, but Shabbos is that you have time during the year, Oneg l'nafshinu b'darkei Hashem, to contemplate the ways of Hashem, v'laleches el hachachamim v'el hanaviim l'shmo advar Hashem, to hear the Nevi'im and the Chachamim articulate the principles of the Torah. That, for the Ramban, is not just a throw-in to the mitzvah of Shabbos, but that's essential to the nature of the day. So Ramban says, since Shabbos articulates the three main principles of Judaism, Chiddush Olam, Hashkacha, and Nevuah, where'd you get to Nevuah? Nevuah comes from Oneg B'Darchei Hashem, enjoying just what is taught by the Nevi'im, enjoying what's taught in Divrei Torah. So for Ramban, that occupies an equal place in Shabbos as Isra Malacha does. That's remarkable. The Ramban, you don't find it in the Gemara. You don't find it in any of the psukim, but the Ramban was just so intuitive that Shabbos couldn't just be a day of malacha and resting. It has to be that at the heart of the day is a religious productivity about what you're using it for. That's a very inspiring principle. The other Rishonim are fine without it. So the Ramban says, the Ramban now, in light of that, in light of his being convinced that this is so important, so the Ramban rereads the whole mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos is not an addendum. It's central, and it has to be religious. And that's how the Ramban is able to say that built into the notion of Shabbos is that it's used as to push you forward spiritually. And that's why part of Oneg Shabbos, that it has to be dedicated to Darkei Hashem and Limud Torah and Nevi'im. The Radak makes a similar point, but not as strongly as the Ramban does. This is the Radak in his commentary to the Psukim in Yeshaya. The Radak thinks that the physical component of Oneg HaGuf is supposed to spill into a spiritual Oneg. Let's read it very quickly. V'karasa l'Shabbos Oneg, im tashev mishabbos mitzvas los asei, v'karasa l'Shabbos Oneg mitzvas asei l'aneg HaGuf. So you should be involved in physical pleasure. How? B'macholim arevim, with nice foods, v'tovim, good foods. Shemitoch sheyishana mishar yamim, through making Shabbos different from the other days. Yizkor ma'ase bereishis, you'll remember the creation of the world. V'shaha'el chidsho me'ayin, and Hashem created it from nothing. V'shavas b'yom ha'shvi, and he rested on yom ha'shvi. Mitoch kach yishabeach lekel v'yifareyu b'piv u'levavo. So just by having the time to think about what happened on Shabbos, so then you'll recognize that something happened, something really amazing happened on Shabbos, and then you'll start contemplating what happened, and that'll lead you to praising Hashem. And once you do that, v'tis'aneg nafsho bo, then you'll have some form of physical, some form of spiritual oneg. So you have three different formulations here about oneg Shabbos. For the Rambam, oneg Shabbos is just at the end of Shabbos. For the Ramban, it's at the core. Oneg Shabbos is defined primarily in terms of your religious activity on Shabbos. If you're missing out on that religious activity, you're missing out one primary pole, one pillar of Shabbos. And for the Radak, it's a physical indulgement in oneg, and just by that alone, by realizing that Shabbos is a day when you have time for yourself and enjoying what's happening, you'll think about, why is this day here in the first place? And that'll lead you into a higher level of spiritual appreciation. So that's our overview of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. And it could be for the Rambam that the Rambam will acknowledge that it is D'oraisa. And that's why a Shavua will be Chal. But the Rambam does everything in his power to tuck it away, because he thinks that Shabbos is really about Isra Malacha. But the principle, as a D'oraisa principle, exists. That's where we end up with the Rambam. Okay. So that's our overview of Oneg Shabbos.
Since the whole construct of Shabbos and what we understand as Isra Malacha is completely rabbinically ordinated by today's standards and also for the past who knows how many hundreds of years, you could observe Shabbos, Shomer Shabbos, and yet it could bear absolutely no relationship to how we do Shabbos today. Therefore, that really goes into what the Ramban says.
All right, so according to the Rambam, you'd be okay. According to the Ramban, you'd be missing out on one third of Shabbos.
Right, because in other words, the rabbis they instituted and expanded the idea of Malacha in such a way as to construct what Shabbos be so different from every
But that's why the Ramban is going much further than what we discussed 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, the Ramban just said if you don't do Malacha and you do your labor as normal, that's problematic. This week, the Ramban went further, and the Ramban said even if you rest on Shabbos, even if you don't do any tircha and any amel, you don't do anything that's strenuous activity, I'm not saying you're still missing out on one third, 33% of Shabbos if you don't use it towards religious activity. That's a big chiddush. Right? The other Rishonim don't know from it. The Smak would say, Oneg Shabbos is just an offshoot of Malacha, like you were saying. Have the mentality like you have a day for yourself. The Rambam would say, maybe Oneg, enjoy Shabbos. It's intuitive that there has to be some positive part of Shabbos. Right? Because it can't just be that, you know, stay home and do nothing. But the Rambam says that's like, once you're home, so do something good or enjoy it. But the Ramban's saying, no, this is definitional to Shabbos as expressing the Yesod of Nevuah. So I think it's remarkable. Questions? All right.